It's the Derek and Mike Podcast. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate you being here. You can hit us up on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Derek and Mike Pod. On Instagram, currently still known as Instagram, at Derek and Mike. And on our website, permanently known as DerekandMike.com. My name is Mike, and this is my boy, Derek.
Damn, we're live right now, huh?
We are.
What's up, Mike? What's up, everybody?
We are. We are live and alive, which is good.
Yeah. Well, we're not technically live when people hear this, actually. They're not going to
We're live recording it, so it's recorded live, you know.
Yeah, we're on the air.
Yeah, finally. We are on some air, virtual digital air, not really the old literal air, but yeah, you know, whatever. We're talking. People can hear us. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah. Holy crap, man. It's been a while.
It's been too long. I was going through the intro and the whole, I was about to say you can hit us up on Twitter, but since we talked last, Twitter became X. So now you have to say X, formerly known as Twitter. And then I was thinking, how long do we have to do the formerly known as Twitter thing? Can we just call it X? How long do we have to do that?
I don't know. I don't really call it X. I don't really talk about Twitter even, so I'm not sure. But yeah, it's X on my phone, so I just hit the X. But yeah, I don't think about it really.
All right. But I haven't gone onto Twitter or X in a really long time.
You're probably happy then.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Absence from social media usually equals an increase in happiness.
Definitely.
But we're all still so, you know, addicted to mainlining it regularly, even though we would all agree, I'd be happier if I didn't do it, but here, as soon as I poop, I'm going to go fire it up again.
Is that, that's when you check in Instagram? You're about a once a day or an Instagram? I'm a once a day or an Instagram. I'll get on there like once a day or so.
No, on Instagram, I honestly flip through it more often than once a day, usually, like if I have a few minutes and I'll check my email, and if there's nothing interesting in email, I'll hit Instagram and just kind of see like, I'll see what my main peeps are up to. Like, all right, cool, nothing. Okay, cool.
You're addicted. You might have an addiction.
I might. Maybe I should just delete it. Maybe we should delete that whole part of the intro. Like, yeah, you can hit us up on nowhere. Go to our website. And
You're listening to us now. So wherever you found us, just be happy.
Wherever you found us, we're there. You're already here. Why are we worrying about getting you?
As a matter of fact, don't go to any other site. Just stay anywhere. Here.
Just stay here. Continue listening. Yeah. Don't worry about following us on anything. All good.
We're telling people to drop off. We're like, just drop off right now and go over to our Instagram and our Twitter. And basically, there's really cool stuff over there. You don't have to listen to us.
Ooh, you know what I just realized, too, is that we're dating ourselves by naming these social platforms. So, like, 10 years from now, maybe X will be, you know, Slobby or something. And who knows? And, you know, they're going to listen to old episodes of our podcast and be like, oh, God, this is so dated. They're totally saying Twitter. These guys are ancient dinosaurs.
Yeah, because X is going to be the everything app.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For me, it's a nothing app. I don't use it, but
I don't know exactly what plan that he's got schemed up, but he was like, yeah, it's going to be the everything app. I'm like, I don't quite understand what that means. But
typically, when someone says it's going to be everything, it ends up being nothing.
Yeah, you can't be everything to everybody.
No, you got to be one specific thing. People have to be able to describe, here's what's really cool. You know, here's why I use this. If you're just like, oh, it's everything, man. I do everything on this. Like, oh, yeah, lame.
It's like, yeah, it's like when they combine like a Pizza Hut and a green burrito, you know, the green burrito. And they combine those. When they combine them, they both suck, you know. But like when it just used to be the green burrito. Remember the green burrito?
I do, yeah.
That was. I mean, I had a love-hate relationship with it because I like their nachos.
Ah.
And they did have some big fucking burritos.
I liked their green burrito, wet style.
Oh, okay.
Just a big, gigantic, sloppy glob of fat. And it was pretty good. And their chips were good.
They're not even around.
Their chips and salsa were good. Yeah.
The nachos were good. I like the nachos. Those nachos were fucking fat and meaty, and they had a whole bunch of shit on there.
Yeah, man.
I always liked the...
Derek likes it meaty.
Are they even around anymore? They're not even around.
There is one near my house-ish, and I haven't been there in many years. I I assume it's still there waiting for me, but for all I know, if I go back for a green burrito, I might be surprised to find out it's a Del Taco now. I don't know.
Well, don't...
Oh, and that one's actually a Carl's Jr. and green burrito. That one's not a Pizza Hut combo. It's a Carl's Jr. green burrito combo. Or was.
Oh. Oh, wow. Well,
I'm sure this is, like, incredibly interesting for everyone listening. Hey, actually, I wanted to ask you something right out of the gate. I wasn't even going to acknowledge the fact that it's been like almost, I don't know, 8 months since we've done a podcast. Because I figure if people are listening to these in succession, then they wouldn't care if there's a big gap in between. So I was just going to roll right into it and not even mention it. But here we are. It's been a while since we talked.
Sorry. I fucked up.
Yeah, no, you didn't. It's all good.
I always mess up for us, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, I got sidetracked by the whole X formerly known as Twitter thing. That threw me off. As soon as I was saying you can hit us up on Twitter like I always have, I realized, well, no. It fucked my whole flow up.
Yeah.
Stupid.
No, I thought I was just impressed by that because you were just going with the flow.
Stupid Elon up our intro.
You're going to say something important, it seems like. You're like building up to some majorly important thing.
No, I prepared one idea, so I'm just kind of stuck on this one idea I brought to the table.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you if Tennessee is considered the South, like if Tennessee people from Tennessee consider themselves Southerners, like is Tennessee the South?
Yes.
Okay, it is. How South? Because, you know, it's certainly not as South as, say, Georgia, but it's like full South or just pretty South? What are we talking here, like 60-40 split?
I don't know. I mean, like, in my defense, I don't like go around and say, hey, everybody, how South are we over here? We consider ourselves like real South or like...
You don't gauge their...
I mean, there's a heavy Southern accent. I will say that.
Well, yeah.
There's a heavy Southern accent. And so gauging by that, I would say, you know, the accent feels pretty damn South.
Okay.
Even though... So I don't know if that... But and above us is Kentucky... You know, Kentucky's not South, right? But it feels South.
Well, Tennessee and Kentucky were both border states when, you know, the whole Civil War era, when the North-South lines were pretty much laid out. And so Tennessee was one of the last states, if not the last state, to join the Confederacy to secede. And it didn't last long as a seceded state. It was taken back by the Northern forces, the Union forces, pretty quick after it seceded. So maybe just a few months was it ever a part of the Confederacy. Union forces entrenched themselves like in Nashville and Knoxville, and they were pretty much held by the Union through the majority of the war, other than those first few months. And they were used as bases by the Union and all that. So through the Civil War, when those North-South lines were being drawn, Tennessee was operationally a northern state, but sentimentally, I think it was more southern by the people that live there. You know, they probably thought of themselves as more a southern state being held or occupied by a foreign invader, because that's how it was kind of seen during those days.
So I'm looking up right now the Mason-Dixon line, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's above Kentucky. So is that like...
Mason-Dixon line, if I remember right, that was before the Civil War. Part of what kicked off the Civil War was drawing a line where below this line, slavery will be allowed and will be allowed to proliferate and expand. Above this line, slavery will never be able to touch. So even if there's new states created, meaning like out of like the Utah territory or new territories over in California and shit, as we expand westward and northward, the new territories will be slave states or not slave states. And that Mason-Dixon line was basically like, hey, everything on this above this line will not be able to be a slave state, and everything below it will be able to continue with the slavery thing. So that's where that line was. That wasn't necessarily the North-South Civil War lines were drawn by which states seceded and which did not.
So what you said is, according to my vestiges of my brain,
ooh, all right,
is number two, but number one, it was a boundary dispute resolution. The line was first and foremost, if I can recall, a resolution to a long-standing legal dispute over the boundary between Maryland and Pennsylvania.
Ah. Mm-hmm. That seems pretty far east to be affecting what, in those days, Tennessee and Kentucky were virtually the West. Everything westward of that was like unclaimed territory and pretty wild. Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, what made me think of is Tennessee the South is I was with a customer yesterday, actually, and they were telling me a story of something that happened in Georgia. And it made me think, because I knew I'd be talking to you today, I was like, man, I wonder if Derek ever runs into stuff like this. Because it was shocking to me. And I've seen stuff in the South that's like racist and different ways of thinking and stuff like that, where you're just kind of like, whoa, hey, that's a little weird. You don't hear that every day. But in the South, some of that stuff is a little more commonplace. This particular customer runs a company out of California, and they're starting to do a lot of work in the South and the Southeast, and they opened up a branch in Georgia. So they're staffing it with people in Georgia, and they're having some personnel issues. So the VP of operations is flying back to Georgia all the time to try to get that branch into shape and get their production levels up to where it needs to be and all that normal procedural shit. She was telling me about... She heard some complaints and wanted to go out and check some stuff out on her own. So she went out there and hung out with everyone during lunchtime. And at lunchtime, there's a cleaning lady on staff who at lunchtime heats up everyone's food and has it ready for lunch as a courtesy or as a means of streamlining people, you know, the time they're spending at lunch or whatever. So this lady heats up everyone's lunch. And she noticed, the VP lady who was going back there noticed that this cleaning lady was not heating up the lunch of the black people that work there. And she thought, well, that's kind of weird. Maybe they don't want their lunch heated up. And she kind of asked, like, oh, aren't you guys going to, you know, have lunch or have her heat up your lunch and all that? And the black people's response was something like, oh, well, they don't touch our lunch or they don't touch our bags or something like that. And she was just kind of like, oh, okay, like maybe they don't want them to. Or something. Kind of whatever, that's weird. And then in the same lunch break, she noticed that everyone was getting coffee and the same black people were all kind of standing aside waiting, obviously waiting for coffee, but waiting for all of the other people to get coffee first. And she had asked them, like, aren't you going to get coffee? You want some? And they were just kind of like, oh, no, we'll wait our turn. We'll wait for our turn to do it. And she's like, what do you mean your turn to do it? And they basically made it clear that they were waiting because black people need to wait for the white people to get their coffee first. And she was telling this story just like, and it made me sick, Mike, you know, like to feel this and I couldn't even believe it. And then to be faced with this actually happening in our own company, you know, and she put a stop to it and, you know, addressed it properly and very well. And it was just a crazy thing to hear that kind of stuff still goes on, you know? I've never seen that in particular in the South. I've spent an okay amount of time in the South. I've never seen that where it was like accepted by both sides. Like I've seen racist things happen, just like I've seen racist things happen in California, but you see it more in the South. There's more of an ingrained heritage of separation there. But I've never seen it like that to where people acceptingly, not necessarily willingly, but they accept that degraded social level, you know, and it was like, fuck, that still exists? And I was wondering if that's ever something you see or hear about.
No, actually, not at all. and I think I told you, like, when I moved here from LA, I first thought the same thing. I thought, like, okay, you know, just based on everything that I hear, like, the South is more racist and, you know, the whole gamut, right? And we moved here. And before we moved into our house, we got a construction crew to do a whole bunch of things. And it took them about 6 months. So we found a general contractor, and he's a black guy from Florida. And his whole crew that he hired was black. And so we had a, you know, it was just, whoa, the wind is going crazy. We had maybe about eight to 10 different black people working on our home. And having thought the same thing that I always thought, like, oh, well, LA is less racist than like out here. I was like, okay, well, we're in the South.
Yeah.
It's going to be like less racist out here. almost expect it. I thought that's what it was. Mm-hmm. So then, and so there was two guys, Reginald and I forgot the other guy's name. But, and they're dark black people too. They're not like light black people. They're like, you know, they're dark black people.
All right.
And we were in the bathroom and I forgot what brought this up, but I was like, you know, I said, and I brought up the contrast of LA and I said, this place is not probably so much like LA. And I said, there's probably more racism here. And then when I said that, and I had been working with him for like a couple months at that point, we were really comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
And they both look at each other at the same time, right after I said that, like kind of confused, and then turn back. And in almost unison, they both say to me, it's not racist here.
Huh.
So, well, you know, if it kind of, it dispelled the whole kind of thing where I'm thinking like, oh, well, there's racism. And honestly, like East Tennessee is one of the coolest places when I do think of a melting pot. Now, that doesn't mean that like black people do live in one area and white people live in another area, generally speaking. But that happens in LA too. Like you have
well, yeah,
you know, you black have, communities like Baldwin Heights over there.
Chinatown and certain areas where like all the Lebanese live and like that sort of thing for some reason. Races and ethnicities and nationalities all just kind of group together for whatever reason. That just kind of happens everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've never seen or heard of any racism here at all.
Huh.
And as a matter of fact, we went to lunch yesterday and we went to a barbecue place and there was a group of black people talking with some Southern boys and they were just laughing up amok, you know, and they were just talking about like the AT&T outage and like, and I mean, this is like some old Southern boys and some black people. Like, so it was like,
it's pretty great. And that's what I would expect. Here, I mean, in 2024, that's what you would expect, that we're just there. Even if there's a few, you know, bad seeds or just a few people still out there dragging their knuckles, the vast majority of people you would think are living in reality that we're all equal, whether you think so or not. You know, it seems like that's the obvious state of things, you know? So yeah, mm-hmm. I was just surprised when she told me that story. I was like, shit, that still exists, man. That sounds like some 1950s or 60s civil rights era kind of crap. Like that's nuts, man.
Yeah. And you know, like when those people, when the contractors told me that, like I thought back and I'm like, well, it kind of made me like rewire my brain a little bit because I always thought that it was more racist, like over here in the Southish area. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure it sounds like that's probably a pocket. There's got to be pockets of areas.
Well, and maybe it's different the further south you get. You know, like I've been to Texas, like in northern Texas, like Dallas. You don't. I didn't see anything like that. Down in Houston, much further south Texas, I did hear some stuff like that. Never the thing where I'm describing, like where some people were willingly submitting to that social expectation of separation, but just racist comments from people that you talk to. I heard that more in South Texas than I did in North Texas. I haven't really spent a lot of time in Georgia. I've been to Atlanta, but I haven't really spent a lot of time hanging out, talking to people, whatever. This is kind of a rural town where they opened this office, so it's kind of rural Georgia. And maybe it's more common in those rural areas, less city, but I don't know, kind of crazy. It was a weird story. I was like, shit, man, are you serious? And she's like, yeah, I couldn't believe it. It was hard for her to hear, and it was really hard for her to accept that this is going on like at my company kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, what do you do about that? What do you do about that?
So like, there was a guy running the office something. That they had basically running the operation there. And turned out, as she dug more into it and started interviewing people individually and all that, it turned out this guy was pretty much supporting that.
Instigator.
Yeah, yeah. So he was maybe not, you know, initiating that separation, but certainly supporting and not bucking it. She pretty quickly realized that this guy's a problem, got rid of him. She made it clear to everyone that everyone's equal, and there will be no, you know, waiting for coffee. When you want coffee, go get coffee and that sort of thing. And since it sounds like she's been able to turn it around, Yeah, that was kind of what she walked in on, and it was shocking to her. It was shocking to me for her to tell me the story, and I was like, fuck, man, that's crazy. It's gross.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like this, where I live at right now, strangely enough, it might be the nicest place in the country.
Wow.
Like, when I say nicest, well, I mean the nicest.
Well, now that you're there,
people.
Of course.
Well, yeah, they were waiting for me to arrive.
Yeah, yeah, Derek brought the sunshine.
Yeah, but no, it's like you go to like Arby's, you know, and you order there, and even the people in the fast food are like, "Hey, darling, what can I get your order?" "Okay, love, pull up, sweetheart." You know, they're just so nice about with everything, and they're just fine with their job. You know, like I remember, like back in LA, you know, people would. Understandably, because I was one of them at the time, when I used to work at fast food, not in LA, but somewhere else, yeah. It's like just pissed off at my job and I hated it. But it seems like here, just everybody is like, for lack of a better word, and this isn't really the right word, but kind of is more enlightened, like more like living their life, more just happy and with where they're at.
Well, I think that's a common thing in LA, at least, is a lot of people come here to make it, like the pie in the sky. Mm-hmm. Everyone always aspires to be something they're not. Like every waitress in Los Angeles is not wanting to be a waitress. She's an aspiring actress or a screenwriter.
Sure.
You know, that kind of thing. I think there's that vibe in LA where
it's almost like
a dissatisfaction of what they're doing, and I should be doing something else, or I'm going to be doing something else, and one of these days I'll make my way out of this town and that sort of thing.
Totally.
I think that's
like that waiter that we got that told us to get those steaks, and those steaks fucking suck.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah, I do. He's just like, oh, finally, some idiot bought those. They've been.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah, that's what you said too. He's like, they were trying to ditch these motherfuckers because
they
couldn't
fucking sell those to anybody else. So he's like, oh, we have these beautiful steaks in the back. You should have those. Try them. They're fantastic. Like, oh, okay.
What were they were like hockey pucks, weren't they? We were pissed.
Yeah, yeah. They were like weird. They were fillets, I think, if I remember right. And they were just, yeah, tough and shitty.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of steak, I did a fun diet experiment right around Christmas. I went vegan for a week, like full-blown vegan for a whole week.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Wow.
It was pretty fun.
Wow. So were you vegan like eating pizza or no, vegan means you can't eat cheese,
yeah,
right?
So there's like trash vegans where they're just like, you know, idealistic vegans where it's like, oh, I just won't eat anything that's animal based, but I'll still eat total crap as long as it's vegan, you know, bunch of sugar and bunch of just fucking bullshit food. So the reason
flour and bread and shit and, you know,
yeah, just crap,
yeah, and bagels
dude.
And
totally.
Yeah.
So that wasn't the reason. Or the strategy at all. Really, the strategy was to eat whole foods as much as possible. So, like, nothing processed, no meat, no dairy, and whole foods as much as possible. So, like, whole grains, whole fruit, whole vegetables.
Shit that goes bad eventually if you don't eat.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, whole foods. So, not even, like, juicing or any of that kind of stuff, because juicing kind of pulverizes the food and breaks apart the... Well, breaks membranes. Apart the wholeness of the food, right? So I became really interested in the benefits of whole food. And what got me into it was I read a book so I've slacked on my workout focus a little bit. I still work out all the time, but I started slacking on my motivation. And I wanted to kick myself back into gear and reinvigorate my motivation. So I was looking for like fitness books or diet books just to kind of help me get back into it. And I found this book called Whole by, I forgot, but it was a really great book. And basically this book, Whole, was written after another book called The China Study. And it got me all into it. So I read The China Study and then I read this book, Whole, and it led me to a few other books and all that. They were basically kind of tracking the effects of, tracking the instances of heart disease and obesity and cancer in all these different places all over the world, and found that these little pockets of populations in China that were eating almost no meat and no processed food, no meat, no dairy, very little meat, very little, like a little bit of fish as like a garnish kind of thing, but almost no meat and no any of that, had virtually no degenerative diseases. No Alzheimer's, no cancer, no heart disease, no breast cancer. They had none of these things. And this book, this like groundbreaking book that I only became recently became aware of, but apparently was a real groundbreaking thing when it came out, was called The China Study. And I became interested in the idea of like, okay, well, how does that work? Because it's like, what the fuck do you eat, you know? And his next book, Whole, goes more into not just proving that this nutritional information was fact-based, but then, okay, how do you eat to realize the benefits of this information? And it was an interesting idea. Like, okay, cool. So you eat whole food, you eat whole grains, a lot of like oatmeals and whole vegetables, whole fruit, all that kind of stuff. And it's basically, the idea of eating something whole. Like, so if you were to like juice an orange, it breaks up all the pulp and all the other pieces of the orange that are required for your body to properly process the sugars and the vitamins that are inside the orange. So the idea of like distilling an orange down to just the beneficial nutrients is going in the opposite direction, because it's not just the vitamin C and just the nutrients inside the orange. It's the entire orange. It's the fiber mixed in. It's all that stuff that the fiber helps your body properly absorb all the other cool nutrients. So by just saying,
not so rapidly,
hey, I don't want to eat a whole orange, I'm just going to take vitamin C tablets, like, sounds great, but it's total bullshit. And there are studies and all that show how bullshit it is and all that. So it became interesting to me. And I thought, I'm going to fucking try this. So I went full vegan, tried to do the whole food thing for a whole week, and it was interesting.
Well, are you still doing it or no?
No, I'm not. it was
a failed experiment.
It was really hard. No, I knew it was temporary. Yeah. There's no way I would just eat that way forever. And I don't know, maybe one day, but it was, I felt great. I had great energy, but it was too hard to figure out what to eat all the time. Maybe with enough time, like, I live a busy life, dude, so it's hard for me just to meal prep or plan ahead on meals. I'm out and about. I'm taking customers to restaurants, and going to a restaurant is really limiting and tough and a little embarrassing when you're a vegan, I guess, to be totally honest. Yeah, like, you just feel
Taco
like
Taco Tuesday, bitch.
Yeah, you feel a little bit like a puss, you know? Yeah. And
you're not going to join us for Taco Tuesday?
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. So like, oh, I'll just have a salad, you know? And I don't mind doing my thing while everyone else is doing something else, but it just became like, it's too much. And it was interesting, though. It was a really cool experiment. It did feel great. I had a lot of energy, and you poop a lot. I'll tell you that. When you're eating that much fiber and nothing's really clogging you up, no cheese, none of that kind of stuff, that you really drop some bombs, let me tell you.
You know where you don't poop a lot is when you eat meat. And the what some people say is that, oh, well, you don't poop a lot when you eat meat is because it's stuck in your body, it's stuck in your bowels, it never comes out. I don't think that's true at all. It's meat is actually and I believe this, it's a perfect transfer of energy to your body. Like, it's just like, I mean, it's meat, you know? So it's got a lot of vitamins in it. It has even vitamin C in it. And I think it's probably the least toxic way for people to eat, because I've heard of people that have like very sensitive allergies to gluten or whatever that might be. And, you know, salads and fruits, vegetables, all that stuff. I didn't realize this, but all those, they contain something to defend themselves. So every single plant has something to defend themselves. Now, granted, our body is able to absorb it, but there's a little bit of poison in almost everything that and the defense mechanism might not be enough in order to deter us from eating it. It's probably not enough to actually harm us really in any great capacity, unless we eat like a fucking boatload of it. It might be. And then at that point, you know, you'll get sick of it and you'll be like, oh, why am I sick of that? Well, because it's some poison in an orange. If you eat oranges every day, where your body's like, fuck oranges, I don't want any more oranges. Yeah. You know, your body's telling you don't eat any more of that poison. But I do think the plants contain a little bit of poison and every little thing. And I'm not saying that they're bad to eat, because, you know, I think that it's kind of like, what is that? one theory, when you get eat a little bit of something and it kind of like your body creates a resistance to it, so then it's able to defend itself against that next time.
Oh, like but, inoculation, basically.
Yeah, but there's another word for it. It's the more natural term of inoculation. I forgot what it's called. It's those little things where you put them under your tongue, but that's not the point. I think that meat is actually the least hazardous to our body, and I don't know.
I've
think
always
a
thought
meat
that
diet
too. Like,
is better.
As someone who has tried to eat well, my idea of eating well was always, you know, limit carbs, especially shit carbs like refined sugars and all that kind of stuff. You know, just a good amount of healthy fats, try not to eat like a bunch of bad greasy fats and all that. Like, try to eat healthier fats like avocado and the omega 3s and 6s and all that shit.
But I think those fats are good for you too, though. I think the animal fat is.
Yeah.
I mean, think about animals just eat grass. That's all that cows do is eat grass.
So like, you look at like a piece of bacon versus a piece of fish. The fat makeup is different, right? Like a piece of fish, they say it has omega-6s or omega-3s or whatever. Like, it's a much healthier fat versus a piece of bacon, which, you know, that greasy strip of bacon is not good for you. It just can't be, you know, even though it's delicious and awesome.
I don't know. I don't think it is bad. I agree that that is like the prevailing theory, but I don't think that that's necessarily true.
Huh.
I think the best fats for you are in order. Let me see if I can get it right. Lard, ghee, butter, that's all I can think of right now, but probably avocado, not avocado, but olive oil would be in there, but olive oil is down low. But I think those supernatural fats, definitely not like vegetable oil, right? I mean,
yeah,
you know,
that's
about
just crap,
that, right?
Yeah.
Vegetable oil,
canola
is like
oil and shit.
Yeah. That stuff is fucking garbage for you, but
yeah,
I think,
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you know this because you definitely, you were like carnivore damn near.
When I went keto, I went, so I've never done solid carnivore testing. I've done an insane amount of meat and almost no carb testing. And then I went through a whole 10-month thing of keto where I ate anything that was protein and fat and almost nothing that was carbs, where I would literally like not eat asparagus and other vegetables because they have a couple of carbs in them. And I wouldn't eat grapes because they had too many carbs in them. Maybe a strawberry or two was about it. Other than that, I was just all meat, cheese, that kind of stuff. And I ate like shit, dude. I was eating like pork rinds and salami, you know, like that snack meat and stuff like that. Like, that stuff can't be good for you. It's all sodium and all that kind of stuff. But that's all I ate, and I lost a ton of weight. I don't know if I felt great, but lost a ton of weight doing it.
I don't know if it's bad for you, though. I mean, I think that, well, definitely like processed salami, even.
For sure.
Like the processed meats, yes.
Anything processed, yeah, is all that's just fucking terrible.
But, you know, what I've been doing too lately is fasting, a little bit more fasting. And what's interesting about that is you can tell that, or I could tell that I was like encroaching on a metabolic disorder because I wouldn't be able to go like, what would it be, like 24 hours without food, without like being lightheaded or whatever. And that experience actually started when I did keto, maybe 10 years ago when I just started doing keto. Like I had a severe like brain fog and like I was going to pass out, and our nanny would say something to me and I would be like spaced out, and then she'd laugh at me. She's like, yeah, you're like spaced out. You're like, where am I? We kind of laughed at that. But, so that was when I got an indication that I had a metabolic disorder, and then, or I was encroaching on a metabolic disorder, like type 2 diabetes, you know? So then I stopped eating for like 24 hours. I would start doing these fasts, and I found that, you get these enormous cravings and like it's very difficult to like at first go 24 hours, you know, without eating. And then I would spread that out to like 36 hours, and then I can do 36 hours pretty comfortably now. And after a certain point, after about probably 30 hours, you're not even hungry anymore.
Yeah.
In a way, like you're kind of not even hungry. And then you're thinking, like, what it makes you think is that And we've talked about this, I think you and me, about insulin, right? We, mm-hmm. when we eat all the time, we have constantly have insulin pumping through our body. And that's when your body develop, your cells develop insulin resistance because there's too much fucking insulin always pumping through your body. So your cells are like, well, fuck, I need to be resistant to this insulin.
Yeah.
And then that's when you develop type 2 diabetes. So then your insulin resistance goes way up, which you get that. But then when you start fasting, what happens is those, you learn those cravings are actually, the insulin is making your blood sugar drop. The excess insulin is making your blood sugar drop. And that's why you're feeling that way. But we think that we're hungry. We're not hungry. We just have low blood sugar because we have too much fucking insulin pumping through our body. We've never really experienced hunger. And if you want to experience hunger, go about 48 hours, you start to experience hunger. It's a different feeling than what we think of, like, oh, I'm hungry right now. No, you're not hungry. If you don't eat for 48 hours, yeah, you can be hungry. You're hungry. But before that, you're just going without a meal and you're experiencing low blood sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an interesting thing for me. I didn't do a lot of fasting. I did a lot of intermittent fasting, which you never really have time to get like super hungry. I did 1 3-day fast, and I remember thinking going into it, like, I'm committing to 72 hours. And I remember thinking, like, this is going to be hard, man. I'm going to be really hungry, expecting it. And after one day, I was really hungry. But then after that first day, I just wasn't hungry. It was weird. My body went into this just kind of like grit mode where it was just, I was fine. I was happy. I felt fine. All through the second day, even into the third day, like I felt just fine until I decided to break the fast. And I was so shocked the whole time, like, this is weird. Shouldn't I be like just salivating and you know, eating boot leather? But no, I was totally fine. It was weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I don't eat, I usually eat about like maybe one meal a day. I do about one meal a day. Like and then when I do eat currently right now, I'm kind of trying to stick to a carnivore kind of diet. We don't really need as much food. We've been told like, oh, 3 meals a day, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It's really not. I mean, we don't have to eat that much. And you will lose weight if you don't eat so much.
Well, then it seems like what the goal is, like if the goal is to purely lose weight, then that's one strategy or would require one strategy or maybe a bunch of different strategies focused on that goal. But if you're trying to say increase strength or increase muscle mass, then that kind of changes things. So like you want to have food in your system when you're working out to be able to power through workouts and give your muscles fuel to recover and grow, that sort of thing. So I've even tested some of that. Back in the day, I used to always work out fasted. I would wake up really early and drink a pre-workout drink, which has like no calories. It's just basically caffeine and vitamins, and work out fasted. And it was fine. And then later on, I tested working out after a protein shake, and the results were like better, not amazingly better. I'm not yoked or anything, but I could notice a difference between doing the same level of workout, the same time of day, and everything versus not having food in my system and having some sort of food in my system. So I would eat like, I would do a protein shake and a banana, so I had good carbs in me and protein. Along with pre-workout caffeine and vitamins and shit, workout. And it was, A, I was stronger, and B, I saw better results. So that was an interesting experiment.
But have you ever worked out after smoking a bowl?
No, I quit smoking before I started working out.
Oh, man, that's the best. If I work out after I smoke a bowl, I'm just like, I'm a maniac.
Dude. Are you in the zone?
I'm in the zone, yeah. I just become a maniac. I can do anything, and I don't feel any pain.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty. How often are you working out?
But you're right. 2 times a week, pretty much.
How do you do something so infrequently and maintain the habit?
Because I pay for it, and I pay for the workouts, and then I schedule.
All right, so accountability piece.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so you have a schedule with Jonathan,
I still have Jonathan.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so knowing that you've got him on the hook and you can't just easily reschedule and you're kind of screwing him if you flake, then that holds you accountable for 2 good workouts a week.
Yep.
Do you do anything in between? Any workouts? Any purposeful exercise other than just kind of, you know?
You know, I've been going to the cabin. Yeah, just farm work.
Yeah.
I go to the cabin and I got like 17,000 steps on Saturday, this last Saturday, where, cleaning up leaves and shit. And,
All right. All right. Well, that's pretty cool. I'm interested in habit forming. I went through a whole phase of how to break bad habits, how to build new habits, and how to maintain habits as they get stale. And I consider that an ongoing hobby, really. So I'm always interested in how other people do things in infrequent moderation, because I can't do that. Like, I have to do something every day, otherwise my habits dissipate pretty quickly. So for working out, it's been an interesting puzzle, because you really can't work out hard every day. But I have to do something every day to maintain the habit. So even if it's 5 or 10 minutes of, you know, lying on the floor and doing like crunches, like ab work or whatever, I still have to do something every single morning just to maintain the habit. And I have missed mornings here and there, but it's pretty rare. And when I do it, I can feel that the habit is weaker the next day. It's almost like, oh, well, I missed it yesterday, whatever. And as soon as that thought hits me, I'm like, oh, fuck that, dude. Get out there and like bust it out and get that habit back on track. Because for me, habits go away pretty fast. So I always feel like I'm constantly in maintenance mode of not the working out piece, but the habit to continue working out piece.
It's funny. Like, I don't know if you find yourself like this. It sounds like maybe, I can't get it all right at the same time. Like, either I'm working out and I'm eating like shit, or I'm drinking too much and I'm not working out, or you know what I mean? I got I can't have everything firing on the same all the cylinders at the same time. I got something where I'm fucked up somewhere. Like, I'm eating like shit and I'm working out and I'm not drinking, or I'm drinking too much and I'm, not, you know, am working, and you get where I'm saying. It's like, I can't get it all right at the same time. I wish I could.
Well, I think if you got 70% of your shit together, you're doing pretty good. You know, you're doing better than most people, I think. But still, no, I always find that like to be an interesting game with myself, is habit maintenance, and breaking bad habits has been something that I have to be really purposeful with, because I've got an addictive personality. So whatever I do, I continue to do habitually. And if I'm not aware of it, next thing you know, little bad habits start popping up, stuff like that, before you know it. So I've got to be pretty mindful of that. And then I see other people who can just work out a couple times a week, and they continue to do that. Oh yeah, for years I've just worked out on Mondays and Thursdays. And I'm like, how the hell do you do that, dude? How do you maintain that? Is nuts to me. I can't wrap my mind around that. I would never be able to do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it if I didn't schedule it.
Smart.
And you know, it costs money. It costs me money, but you know, at the same time, it's worth it because it's my life, you know what I mean? And that's the way it works for me. I mean, I know I could be, I suppose I could be motivated on my own, but like, I feel like since I have that, then I know I'm going to pay for my health, you know? And
yeah, well, that's a worthwhile investment. Yeah. And if you know, just on automatic, it's just a bill and it's just on your calendar. Then, the accountability piece, knowing someone else is counting on it, makes it, worth it. My wife goes to a personal trainer too. And I was kind of tell her like, we have a gym in our garage. Like, why don't you just start working out there? And she's like, it's not that. Mm-hmm. It's that I need someone, expecting me and holding me accountable. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. I don't, I just have to do it every day or I'll stop doing it. So I have a different problem.
No, it's so true. Yeah. And, you know, my dad has been fasting. You saw him recently.
Yeah.
He lost a lot of weight, huh?
He's very lean. Yeah.
Yeah. He's very lean. And, I think he goes like 72, like about once a month, he does like a 72 hour fast. He's like purely on carnivore.
Yeah.
I don't think he eats anything other than that. And kind of to the explanation of like, you can be great at one at this over here, but then forget, you know, like he says, he's like, well, I want to work out too. And it's like, I feel you, because either I'm getting great sleep and I'm eating great, but I'm not working out, you know. And he's kind of got that thing going on too a little bit. And it's like, but yeah, if he did work out too on top of that, it'd be like boom, you know. I bet you he would be like ripped and, you know, skinny and, you know, feeling great. But and fasting. But no, I like fasting too, because I think that it, I think it cleans your body out, and it makes sense if you think about it, because your body spends so much time processing food and all the, because everything we eat goes right into our bloodstream. And then it's like, oh fuck, let me get that out of the bloodstream and process it through the kidneys. And everything. When there's an extended amount of time where that's not happening, our body's focusing on repairing itself, and it only makes sense, right?
I think our bodies are brilliant. So it's like your body is going to burn the shit that it doesn't want in the body. It's going to burn the trash, right?
Autophagy, yeah.
Totally. And your body is going to say, okay, there's X amount of trash in here. If you eat well, there's still some trash in you. And if you eat bad, there's a fuckload of trash in you. And your body has to burn all that away to prevent it from, you know, growing into cancerous cells and stuff like that. And your body's smart enough to attack the bad shit first. But if you keep putting bad shit in your body in high quantities and high regularity, it's going to be hard for your body to keep up, versus giving your body like a reset point, saying to say, okay, I'm going to give you 3 days to just clean out my trash. And you feel so much different and better after fasting like that. And it really feels like it's just giving your body a chance to catch up, because we constantly pump shit into it and pump shit into it. And no matter how good you eat, you're eating shit, you know? It's just a matter of how much shit are you eating, because no food is free of hormones and just the weird shit that the food industry puts into food, especially in America.
It's all a little poisonous, sure.
Yeah, it's all the worst food in the world. We're all getting it, even if you're shopping organic at the fancy expensive grocery stores and all that kind of stuff. And fasting is a cool way, I think, to, yeah, just take out the trash, really, just to burn it out.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, are you a Star Wars fan by any chance? I'm sure we brought that up, but I don't know if we've ever really talked about it.
No.
Not really?
No, I'm not. I'm like the one person in IT that doesn't give a shit about Star Wars, really. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Star Wars. I've seen them all, of course. But yeah, I'm not like...
Okay. Well, yeah, so I'm not nuts about it. I like Star Wars, but I don't go that deep into the minutiae of everyone's backstory and all that. Like, I think some people are pretty gnarly about it, and I like it. I liked it a lot when I was younger. I kind of fell out of love with it. And then recently, I've re-fallen in love with it, because my five-year-old, my older boy who just turned five, loves Star Wars now. And all he wants he wants to understand it really bad. So he's always asking him questions about the characters and scenarios, and what's this guy and how does he know him? And is he a good guy or a bad guy? And all this kind of stuff. He's got a lot of questions. He really wants to understand everything. And there was one thing that he was trying to wrap his mind around, and I was trying to help him. And I was just like, dude, that's a good question. Like, I don't know how to explain that. And it's an interesting like dichotomy of something we all deal with and have to learn to figure out. And Star Wars like totally broke it down for my five-year-old. And I was like, fuck, I don't really know how to explain it. And he keeps asking me, and I don't know what to say. So it's basically the older three. He's only into the older three. He's not into any of the new Star Wars. He hasn't seen any of that yet. Just the old original three from the 70s and I guess 80s.
Good. Yeah, don't ruin his mind yet with that crap.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get there.
I mean, but, it's not crap, but yeah.
Yeah, it's all crap, right? But it's the old ones are all pure story, because visually they're lacking. They're all pure story and character development and all that kind of stuff. So he is wondering about Han Solo and... So Han Solo is a good guy, right? Harrison Ford's character, Han Solo, is a good guy. And he watched them out of order, much like I'm telling this story. He watched the first three out of order, which is cool because Star Wars is all done out of order. And so he started with Empire Strikes Back. And in Empire Strikes Back, Han Solo is captured and brought to the disgusting gangster Jabba the Hutt, who has him frozen in carbonite. And later on, Han's buddies, Luke and Leia and all that, have to free him from the carbonite. So my boy understands that. Jabba's a bad guy. Han's a good guy. The bad guy got Han, the good guy, and then the other good guys freed Han from the bad guy. Easy. Then later on, we went back and watched A New Hope. And there's a scene in A New Hope where Han Solo and Jabba the Hutt are working together and like colleagues and buddies, and they're walking and talking and talking, you know, this and that, and Jabba's kind of jabbing him, like, why'd you kill this bounty hunter Greedo guy, you know, like, what the fuck, what did he ever do to you? And Han's like, shit, you know, you could do what you got to do. All right, cool. So Han and Jabba are cool in the first old movie, A New Hope. And my son's watching this like, why is Han cool with Jabba the Hutt? I thought Han was a good guy and Jabba the Hutt's a bad guy. And I'm going, yeah, no, Jabba is a bad guy. And he's like, well, what's Han doing with him? And I said, well, Han's working for him. And he goes, what's he doing? And I told him, he's smuggling. Han Solo is a smuggler. He's smuggling for Jabba the Hutt. And my son's like, all right, well, what's smuggling, obviously? Well, that's where he's moving stuff from one person to another and he's helping him sell things. Like, oh, okay. Why is he working for Jabba the Hutt, though? Why are they working together if Jabba's a bad guy and Han's a good guy? And I'm like, well, because Han's just kind of doing it for the money, you know? And he's like, but he's a good guy. And I'm like, yeah, he's not that good. So I mean, it's like a tough thing to answer, you know, because he thinks Han is just this indisputable good guy. And he's faced with this realization of, well, the good guy's doing something with bad guys. What's going on there?
He's
going
to be really confused when he learns about our government.
It's going to be a great precursor.
I mean, there aren't just good guys and bad guys. They're just all kind of just after money.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh, so everyone's good and everyone's bad, but a lot of, some people are just more bad than good, but nobody's all bad or all good. It's an interesting thing for him to wrap his mind around. So he's kind of grappling with that right now. It's pretty cool to watch unfold.
That's cool. You have those big, long explanations with him.
Yeah.
He kind of divulge.
He's really, really curious and asks a million questions about everything, which I guess is probably normal at this age. He's very curious and very smart, and he thinks of great questions. And a lot of times it's fun for me to try to answer things that I've never really had to think about. You know, I don't know how to answer some of this stuff. Like, I don't know. It's just how it is. But why? Like, well... maybe Han's not all good, you know? I don't know the answer there. I don't want to damage him, but let's be honest, you know?
Yeah, the more conversations you have like that, I think that the more you is going to rub off on him, and people are going to be like, oh, you know, he's got his thought processes from his father or, you know, something like that. I think Esme is like that too a little bit, where... when I hear her talk or hear her think, she just reflects me so much sometimes when she's like, well, actually, and I'm like, where does she get that actually from? And then I listen to myself speak. I'm like, oh, I'm fucking saying actually all the time.
Yeah.
So, or it looks like you got a whole school bus of kids that are swarming that school bus.
Huh? Yeah. There's probably some field trip or school? Something. No. I'm parked behind a movie theater. And there's usually anyone here. This is kind of a nice little place to go for quiet truck work, my mobile office. And there's a whole like...
Yeah, you're getting swarmed right now. Just got out of seeing Star Wars or something.
I don't know what you're talking about, Derek. I'm in a professional podcast studio in a soundproof room, in a booth. Yeah.
Well, your background is of a school bus. Yeah, my... a bunch of kids that are back there.
My artificial Zoom background is a field trip, option B. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
There's another movie. Isn't there Dune coming out? I watched Dune last night.
I don't know. I never seen it.
The new remake. It's pretty good.
All right.
It's a pretty good movie. It's on HBO Max. Well, now they just call it Max. For some reason, they pulled out
the entire HBO. Oh, you mean Max, formerly known as HBO Max?
Formerly known as HBO Max. Okay. I had to download a new app for that shit, dude.
Yeah, they got it me on like, that one, too.
Yeah, it was like... I'm like, why can't you just update your fucking app and just, you know, you got to download Max now.
Why is like, it? Why? Yeah, relog in. Like, I don't know my Max password. I put it in forever ago and you just remember it. Like, yeah, why can't you just update your app?
Yeah, major pain in the ass. You know, they got to lose a lot of people when you got to fucking type in your password on the TV. You know, you got your fucking remote and you're like, I mean, I didn't do that, but you know, there's a lot of people that probably got to do that. Use their remote to like navigate that bullshit keyboard, you know, and remember your password, you know.
Yeah, dude, like, they gotta fix that shit, dude, because typing on your screen with a regular TV remote is not cool. They need to figure out a different way. If we're all going to be using our TVs like basically giant computers, they need to give us some sort of an input method that makes sense, because navigating those on-screen keyboards is some bullshit.
Yeah, there's what is that one payment system? They have
like
it right,
because
they got your it's one you can sign up for, like, instead of a merchant account. I forgot the name of it, but they get your phone number, and you can always use your phone number to, not your phone number login, but they'll text you a number. They're like, would you like a login? Like, and then they text it to your phone, and you're like, oh shit, I'll just paste this number in there. That's a way to go right there.
Yeah,
you know, it's just because
that's what you want. Then, you want yeah, like security, but you need it to be convenient. You know, always having a million different passwords and having to update every password every 90 days or whatever, like, it gets daunting. And then, yeah, fucking HBO decides to update their app and make you log back in with your stupid TV remote. It's like, I don't know. Fuck it. I'll just watch Netflix.
What do you watch on HBO? Curb? Or wait, you're not a Curb person,
I am
are you?
Absolutely a Curb Your Enthusiasm
person.
Yeah,
that's
right. I love
that's
that show. It's hard. I don't watch a lot of TV. It's such a...
I don't either.
It's such a jackass answer, but it's honestly the truth. Like, I don't watch much TV. We watch stuff as a family every once in a while. Most of it's kid friendly because we have a 3 and a 5 year old. So we'll watch a lot of YouTube and Netflix kid stuff and Disney. We're watching a lot of Disney Plus these days. Lately, it's been Star Wars, so that's fun for me. That's much better than, you know, Blippi or some of this other, like, just ridiculous.
Oh yeah, you're celebrating right now. You're like, woo-hoo,
yeah, we're watching like
Star Wars. Yeah,
we're watching actual movies, like cool shit. Yeah. Disney Plus is pretty cool, though. There's some good stuff on Disney Plus. So we watch a lot of that. If it's just me and I get a rare chance to be alone, I'm not watching TV. I'm reading a book or working on something I've been putting off, like configuring my new computer and the audio recording software. I'm doing that kind of stuff. Like, I rarely, if ever, sit down and go, hey, I'm alone, I'm going to watch something on TV. To me, that just feels like a waste of time.
Yeah, I'm not a TV watcher either. Megan likes to watch TV, and I'll lay down with her to get a little massage, but that's about it.
Ooh, nice. I like that. You're like, oh, I'll stare at Desperate Housewives while you rub my back. Sure.
Well, I got my headphones in, and I'm listening to something else.
And she's just talking to you, thinking, Derek is such a good listener, and you're just kind of...
I get a little massage. I get like a... like kind of an ancillary massage while she's watching it.
Oh, nice. And nice.
Yeah, she adequately calls me a massage whore.
Nice. So you get like one third of her focus in your massage?
Yeah, which is, that's good enough for me.
Yeah,
I'm good with a one-handed massage, you know?
Yeah, just yeah. I don't need a professional physical therapist or anything. Just rub my back a little.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Or if I need my arm, I'll just move my arm up and be like, here, right there.
I get the thing where when I'm kind of buzzing around doing my own thing, laundry or washing dishes or just kind of buzzing around the house, I've always got an earbud in my ear and I'm listening to audiobooks or podcasts, usually audiobooks. And sometimes my wife will come in the middle of me doing that and she doesn't notice I have an earbud in and she's talking to me and whatever. And I'm like washing dishes, so my hands are wet, so I can't hit the stop button. I'm just listening to a book in my ear and she'll be talking to me or whatever. And then after a little while, she'll come around maybe the other side and see my earbud and go, are you listening to a book while I'm in here talking to you? And I'm like, yeah, sorry, I can't turn it off. My hands are wet. You know, she'll be like, oh my God, sorry, I'm busy.
Yeah, Megan gets mad. I mean, understandably, I'll have both of them in and she'll be like talking to me. And she's like, take them out, get them out. Take them out.
I'll just shake my head. I'll look at her just like, I can't hear you. I'm engaged.
So you just go in, you just get your hands all wet. You're probably just doing dishes so that you don't have to pull it on. Like, hey, hands are wet.
She's like,
hands
you've been wet. Washing what that same cup for like 20 minutes. Like, yeah, it was really dirty. Yeah. Oh my God. Well, Derek, this is a good spot for us to call it quits and say bye. But it's great to see you.
Yeah.
And it looks like you're having
you too, man.
Things are good, man. You're looking good.
Yeah, thanks. You too, brother.
All right.
You too. I saw another school bus back there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, it's quite the happenings behind me. That's all good. They're going on some field trip to the tide pools or some nature preserve or something.
Awesome, brother.
I like that kids are still doing field trips. I was afraid that was something that kind of slipped away with the elimination of arts and shop and all the other extra things that make school worth doing.
Yeah, no, it's good for them to get out. Probably the teachers too.
Yeah, teachers get enough time off.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm bitter about that.
I know. I wish I was a teacher.
So we're coming off of President's Day, which obviously is an incredible reason for us all to celebrate and take off work to honor our nation's presidents. But we had a four-day weekend. Our kids had Friday off and Monday off for President's Day weekend. And I'm like, okay, four-day weekend for presidents, huh? Like, okay. And then the Friday after that four-day weekend, they announce, oh, and today's minimum day, class gets out at 11:30. And I'm like, 11:30? That's, are you serious?
Why even go to school?
Like 11:30, that's not minimum day. That's fucking like not even half a day. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, just cancel school. Yeah, weird.
Yeah, yeah. Why even show up, you know? But I'm like, dude, yeah, they're getting lots of time off. They have a 4-day weekend and then a half day Friday. So yeah, they basically got a 3.5-day work week. I don't get any of that time off. I've still got to go to work, but now I've got to coordinate coverage for my kids because they're fucking honoring George Washington's birthday. So,
and a half.
Ooh, dude. And we were picking up our boy at school on Thursday, saw one of the teachers, and we waved by and we're like, oh, have a good night. And they're like, have a good 4-day weekend. And I'm thinking, I don't get a 4-day weekend, but thank you.
Yeah, they're all happy.
Yeah.
Just smiling ear to ear, just like, bye.
Yeah, they're bouncing out fancy free. Kids. And I'm like, I get to figure out what the fuck I'm going to do on Friday and Monday. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, good times. Yeah. All right, brother. Well, great talking to you.
Okay.
And we will get together again soon.
Sounds good, bro.
All right. See you, man.
I'm like the one person in IT that doesn't give a shit about Star Wars, really.
Hey, this is Mike. Thanks so much for joining us. We really, really do appreciate you. And we hope you're enjoying the show. Derek and I sure have a ton of fun doing it for you. If you'd like to support the show, that would be great. You could follow or subscribe to the podcast in your favorite podcast app. Also, if you want to like the show or leave a good review, that would be cool. Let us know we're doing a good job. We'd appreciate it. In most podcast apps, you can also click the little bell icon thing. And that means you'll get a notification on your phone every time we put out a new episode. So that's kind of cool. Also, if you want to reach out and say what's up, we'd love to hear from you. You can hit us up on Twitter at Derek and Mike Pod. We're also on Instagram as Derek and Mike. Or you can go to our website, derekandmike.com. And if you want to go super old school and antisocial, you could even shoot us an email, info@derekandmike.com. Thanks again for listening. We really, really do appreciate you. And we look forward to talking to you again next time.